Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I do not have any strong opinions about any Miami sporting events. I might be rooting against them just as much as a lot of y'all are. And with me, I have...
Boy, it sure is cold outside. We need to melt all of this ice away.
And...
Apparently somebody has sunrise, let himself some sizzle.
Yeah, that was a headline.
Fancy that, huh?
Huh. It was a song snooze for the opening theme of Gundam Hathaway.
That new Gundam thing that they're still trying to finish to completion, because it's been like 4 or 5 years since the first movie. So,
ew.
Maybe we'll see the third movie in, like, 2031. I don't know.
Good luck with that, Sunrise. You know, the funny thing is, that's not the first time in recent memory I've seen SZA come up in the context of anime or manga. Because, just as a brief aside, in, I think it's like, chapter 12 of, like, the current ongoing JoJo arc, the JoJo Land, there is a bit of dialogue that not only name drops SZA, but also her and Sia. So I don't know who's turning on these people to the music of SZA, but, you know, honestly, you are doing the Lord's work.
Okay, I get SZA, I get her. I'm gonna disappoint with Sia.
Yeah, I side-eyed it too. It's been a while, but I think it had something to do with like music artists whose names are just three letters.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, I'm just saying, if at some point, I don't know, maybe a decade from now, when they get to doing JoJo Lands the anime, we get a SZA ending song, I ain't gonna be mad. But anyway, here we are, episode, 420. Oh man, if there was ever an appropriate time to fucking blaze it.
Meme number. And by that count, I believe we are 47 away from the next meme number.
47. Oh, I get it. God damn it.
I still don't understand the joke of it, so...
Oh, that's a joke.
I don't know.
I don't think there is a joke. I think it's legitimately just nonsense.
The brain rot is growing too powerful. I care not for it.
I don't get for this shit.
I would judge, but I come from a generation that thought, "Was it?" was the funniest thing in the world. So, like, just remember the words of Grandpa Simpson. I'm trying to remember the words of Grandpa Simpson.
Silent time.
Nah, I was thinking more, what's it seems weird and scary to me, and it'll happen to you.
Yeah. And he's right.
But, anyway, how's everyone's week been going?
It has been a week, and that's all I can really say about that. Though I feel like I have to get some stuff worked on my car, which I'm not looking forward to, but we'll see what happens on that front. Speaking of sports-related activities and events, I'm done caring about football for the rest of the season for reasons. It's a bad weekend. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm just going to say, okay, that was terrible. Can't wait to do it all over again in September, because I'm stupid that way. Although I did end up finding out something interesting about, just because it fits in this current madness-filled year of football, there's a connection between the Denver Broncos and Uma Musume.
Oh!
The connection is memes and... That's it. And because YouTube loves to track everything you type in when you're searching stuff, because I had to find out what it was all about, because, you know, it's just meme association. I inadvertently gave myself a crash course lesson on all things Mamusume, and you know what? I kind of get it now. Not so much the gacha game, but the anime. You know what? I can kind of get it. Though I think Bonix would like to have some healing power, because, oh my god, how do you break your ankle on the second to last play of your game? When Ouch. You win, too!
Yeah, that's just weird.
It's madness out there. Nothing makes sense. We are living in peak chaos, and yeah, I just can't wait for it to be over. Do I have to watch all three seasons of Uomusume now and Cinderella Grey? Because I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of commitment.
I'm sorry, there's three seasons? I thought the mobile game just launched last year.
Well, it launched here last year. It's been going on in Japan for a couple years.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, that is the side game's infinite money glitch for you. It's also the reason why the Summer Hikaru died, it looks as good as it does, because Side Games has a whole lot of money at their disposal, which they should use for good things, not artificial things. Ahem, ahem, ahem.
Yes. Yes, they should. More Hikarus, less whatever it is Alex is referring to. And I would like to remain in blissful ignorance, lest I open up my mind to Lovecraftian horrors beyond my comprehension.
You're better off staying away from all that. And staying away from football, too. That's Lovecraftian horror all on its own.
Fair enough. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, my week has been, it's been whatever. Like, I have thought, I did the adult thing and file my taxes and, I got a good return. That's all I can say. I'm not saying nothing else because somebody might watch my ass. But yeah, I can say like, ooh, money, all that shit. But yeah,
any amount of money in your account's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Also, today I watched something that I watched a documentary that debuted almost 5 to 6 years. Well, almost 6 years ago. Which I feel like, it's this documentary, Class Action Park.
Ah.
Ooh. Yeah. What about that having a lot of injuries and deaths? It's like, is entertaining at first, then it gets fucking sad. Right? Like damn. You on the red? Okay, like I've been going to a lot of water parks as a kid, and then as an adult, I'm reminding that you know what? It's not as good. You know what? Maybe as a kid, I'm thinking, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. Though it's like, you know what? Nah, I can go without doing. I go without doing this shit, especially after this. And even now, this is like, I can go without water parks for the rest of my life. Because you're going to be irresponsible, or drunk, or negligent, people dying. There were deaths. Like, it may not be much, but it's still kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah, this is why you don't let a bunch of, unpaid teenagers do all your work for you, because they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only gone through a water park a couple times in my life, namely at the world-famous Manteca Water Slides in Manteca, California, when I was 10 years old, and it's not there anymore because money.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we mainly have a Rapids Water Park around this part of the swamp.
Yeah, so there's just some folks. It's just some folks like, water parks can be fun while you're young, but as you grow older, you realize that Yeah, this yeah, it has to work with. Plus, yes.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
As for me, well, I got to take my car in, you know, later on this weekend for some overdue maintenance and changing a couple of the tires. But in the meantime, I have finally started Metroid Prime 4. It's pretty damn good. I don't get a lot of the bitching. And, but there's also something else. So I also decided to finally, like, start up a show. Maybe one you've heard of if you're on the internet. It's the real talk of the town. So I am now currently 3 episodes into season 1 of The Pit.
Ah.
Oh, that show.
The first 5 minutes has a dude running butt-ass naked out of the front doors of the hospital. Episode 2 has a dude with a shock collar super glued to his neck. And altogether, it's a very stressful experience in every conceivable way. Almost kind of on the level of Uncut Gems. That's some good fucking television.
Okay. Okay, I've been hearing good things about that show.
But yeah, take it from me as someone that doesn't really watch, like, any medical dramas outside of, like, maybe a few episodes of House. This is the good shit.
Okay, so, okay. You know, I feel good. I mean, I have looked at the show five times. It's interesting. Because, like, well, interesting, you know, like, because I know, like, one of the dudes in that show was from an old school of medical drama, that being ER.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay. Like, I'll probably take a look into that probably, you know, whenever it comes. But yeah, looks good.
Yeah, very curious about getting to the new season because I'm told that takes place on 4th of July, which is definitely a choice for a hospital. But that's neither here nor there. So now, with all that out of the way, let's jump into the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week, and this is a massive fucking improvement. Last week, it felt like we were kind of reaching in spots, but no, we got a nice bounty. We got some primo cuts here, and maybe something worth roasting towards the end. Depends on how we feel about it. But, as always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, put some new songs in your playlist, all that fun jazz. And speaking of jazz, the first song we got here is a very interesting collection of very avant-garde musicians. So, first up, we of course have resident favorite Colin Stetson, the composer and saxophonist, who you've no doubt heard in, well, take your pick from any sort of anime or avant-garde film or something like that. We also have Greg Fox, perhaps best known as the former drummer for the avant-garde metal band Liturgy, a band that I used to follow and highly recommend before it turns out that the vocalist was kind of off the deep end in certain respects. And finally, we have Trevor Dunn, a bassist who you might be familiar with for his involvement in various Mike Patton-affiliated projects like Phantomas and even Mr. Bungle. Apparently, they have an album out together, one that they kind of improvisationally recorded together back in 2018. It's called Nethering, due out February 13th, and we have the title track here. And as you could probably imagine from the backlog of these three musicians, it's definitely a bit out there. Like, it literally smacks you in the face up front with these very, like, buzzy, atonal sax lines coming from Stetson. Literally just sounding like a swarm of bees and flies. Just all together very buzzy. And you're also getting this very, like, constant hammering of double kick coming from Greg Fox, which gives way after a minute for, like, this mix of kind of slightly off-kilter ride kick and tom grooves. As well as, you know, the horns eventually settling into, like, a mix of, like, vaguely violin-esque higher ends and then more lower-end bassy elements. And that kind of, like, overall just very, like, honestly anxiety-inducing instrumentation just continues for 8 straight minutes. But yeah, pretty damn good stuff coming from all these three. Will it get any weirder? Oh, you damn well bet it probably will.
This song is an example of Now you must acquire a taste for freeform jazz. With blast beat bursts for good measure. Because, yeah, if you listen closely, you'll hear it in the drums.
Yeah. Since you mentioned freeform jazz, now I'm going to picture this. If it's a TikTok post of a cat, just listen to this. Also, I don't know why it sounds like this will be your alarm clock. You'll be panicking all day long, like what's going on? What's the saxophone?
See, this just sounds like something you like. If you wanted to play a prank on like a friend or roommate, you change their fucking cell phone alarm to this.
Okay. Although, we'll say at least the prank is music is kick ass, so there's that.
And speaking of avant-garde materials, moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, I was wondering why I was feeling the rumble of amplifiers off in the distance somewhere. We have a new Sun O record on the horizon. Yeah, they had an EP out last year, and we have now a new scheduled release from them for April 3rd, a self-titled release, because, they've been in the game for a while now, so why not? Apparently this is their, I think this is either their debut on Sub Pop or their second album since their 2019 record. I forgot to make a note of that, but either way, it's on Sub Pop. So we have the first release song here, which is the closing track. Okay. It's called Glory Black, and man, would you have guessed that a new Sun O track is like 10 minutes of droning, extremely low-end guitars and amplifier feedback for like about 10 and a half minutes or so? I mean, I obviously dig the vibe of it all, but like, you cannot be surprised by this. If you know your Sun O, then you know what to expect at this point. It will be very droning and loud.
Yeah, and boy, this is a great day for fans of very dark, brooding, and low, blaring drone music. As for me, I will just nod in respect for it, even though it's not quite my thing. Also, wow, this was really loud when I was listening to it. Like, my fault for having the volume knob, the volume level on the Bandcamp player up higher than normal, I guess. I don't know, but it was louder than everything else I heard through, like, the YouTube links, and those are at max volume, so out my ears.
Yeah, this is why I usually have to double check before I hit play on any of their music. Just like, okay, are we good? Are we good? Okay, we're good.
Anyway,
moving on to the next track here. So, since last year we got not just a new album from Billy Woods, but also new Arm & Hammer material, I suppose it's now time for kind of the release cycle to alternate, and for Elucid to drop something. Looks like his newest album is set for March 13th. It's called I Guess You Had to Be There, and it's a collaborative record with production courtesy of Seb Bash. So we have the lead-off single here, First Light, which apparently also features contributions from an artist named Maddie. And I gotta say, like, this is a pretty interesting beat, definitely way ahead of anything on that last Arm & Hammer record, mainly mixing this kind of high-pitched, like, droning siren noise from a lot of harmonics that kind of sound like, you know, sampled from someone, like, tapping a bass guitar. Like, you know that sound. And, of course, as for the bars and flows themselves, they're very, kind of stream of conscious. The rhythm is very, like, freeform and abstract, and you get a lot of lines trying, well, you're trying to decipher what the hell they mean, just as one slight selection. Getting to the spaces in between, licking my fingers, play without abandon, like children chasing embers. We came in through the same gate, you can hop your way out. Nobody knows how you did it, can't nobody reach you. Can't nobody touch them, bleeding out, we need signs and wonders. Pussy is legal tender too, I'm much inclined to wonder. You might catch me talking to my wounds, somebody lying. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was in track. And funny enough, how you mentioned, the last Ram album, considering it's a gun piece. According to the press release, he's the Alchemist's favorite producer. In other words, it's like how people say, your favorite rapper, sort of like that. So
that do be true.
I mean, it still is the episode is so guess it'd be a comic. So I guess it'd be like, oh, so that's my book. We know that's cool. It's like, yeah, but so like that. Even if the last Omega map was well, okay, but not great. But yeah.
But we'll see how El Cid's album shakes out. Anyway, speaking of 13ths and Fridays, for this next track here, here's some news that I apparently missed over the holidays. So, looks like a brand new album from metalcore veterans Converge is set for February 13th. Titled Love Is Not Enough, it's their first album in nearly a decade, since 2017's The Dusk in Us. Jesus Christ, that's like year two of this podcast, holy shit. That's just going to be a running theme, stuff from a decade ago, somehow coming all the way back here.
Yep.
So, I think there was already, like, a single released from the album, so now we have the second single released from the album, fittingly titled, We Are Never the Same. And it opens up in a pretty expected way with this pretty thunderous triplet tom groove, you know, Ben Coller still having those hard-hitting chops in check. Of course, soon after, we get the bass groove, you know, following along as well. Right as the rest of the full band kicks in, you get, like, these really beefy grooving riffs from the guitars with this menacing set of melodies over top. You know, plenty of crashes and snares punctuating the various chords. And with the way the groove and the song as a whole is written, the rhythm shift between, like, that triplet section and these 3-4 D-beats throughout the runtime, and it also hits pretty hard, all things considered. Again, like, they've been around for a while, obviously, but even after taking, like, a decade to, you know, sort of, you know, do other stuff, they still haven't lost their edge, like, on their own. So, yeah, pretty damn good stuff, and I am very excited for new Converge, as always.
Yeah, it's nice and heavy and in your face, got a good pulse and some hard punches to it. Yeah, pretty all right. I can dig it.
And now, speaking further of pioneers within the metalcore genre, so after some various leaks here and there in the past couple weeks, we finally have full-on confirmation that Florida metalcore act Poison the Well are releasing their first new album since 2009. Jesus Christ, I was a freshman in high school the last time they put out an album. God, that was... Oh yeah, 2009, that was the dark period of CN Real. Jesus Christ.
Oh no! this is going to be reminding us that we're old.
Let's not think about it too much. Moving on. So, yeah, the newest Poison the Well album is called Peace in Place. It is due out March 20th, and we have the new, you know, the lead-off single here, Thoroughbreds. And it starts out pretty nicely, you know, it's got some nice driving D-beats on this one with lots of beefy chugging chords and the occasional bit of dissonance, as well as, you know, the vocals having this, well, they alternate between this very, like, kind of gravelly bellowing tone, swerving into, like, these big soaring cleans. I don't know if this is because of, like, the horse imagery or anything, but listening to the song, sometimes it does kind of have, like, this bit of a gallop feeling in some of the passages, like, the intro, and especially during this, like, really extended bridge towards the end, and, of course, we can't forget about, like, the dissonance coming in forms of, like, pick scrapes and general guitar feedback. It's definitely a very interesting, like, modern take on the Poison the Well sound. I'd be curious to hear the full record, just, like, you know, really wondering what, like, 16, that would be, I think that would be it, no, 17 years away from the studio has done to their sound, but I'm intrigued.
Well, the song is all right, I suppose. I'm not super, super familiar with these guys, so I don't really know what to base this off of, but given the name of the song and the visuals, and also because there was just, like, teeth in the video. I don't know why, but whatever. Because there were horses involved, I was just expecting Agnes Tachyon and Goldship to show up at some point. I told you, once you go deep into the lore, you can't escape. Somebody help me.
The rabbit holes. Or I guess horse holes, as it were. Actually, no, let's not. Let's move on.
Let's not.
So anyway, On to the next track here. Oh, hey, look at that. Next month, we're getting a new album from Mitski. See, this is what I'm talking about. These next few months, they're already lining up a bunch of interesting stuff. So, the newest album from Mitski is titled Nothing's About to Happen to Me, due out February 27th. And I'm just going to say it. That title has the same energy as Nothing Bad Ever Happens to the Kennedys.
And, by the way, take a look at the album cover, which you see is, it's a cat, and if you look to your left, like, what's going to happen to me? Oh, wait.
I've seen that exact scene play out in the living room several times with my roommate's cats. Just, look at me, I'm a cat. I'm chilling, minding my own business. Oh my god, there's another cat! But, actually, you know what? That could probably be a meme template. You know, like the same energy as when Mr. Krabs dive bombs the table in that one SpongeBob episode. Just your intrusive thoughts. But now let's actually talk about the lead single we have here, titled Where's My Phone? So, instrumentally, the single mainly vamps on this very steady triplet groove for the entire run. It's got these really warm-sounding, fuzzed-out guitar chords, with a bit of psychedelic production in there, eventually kind of swelling and becoming a bit more discordant in its closing moments. And then, lyrically speaking, the album is supposed to be this concept narrative of, well, the way it's described in the press release basically makes it sound like an episode of Hoarders, with, you know, Mitski playing this, like, recluse in a very, you know, home crowded with stuff, as you can tell from the title, because it's kind of this, you know, a mix of very poetic lyrics and the narrator literally trying to figure out where her phone is. So, you know, where's my phone, and you have lines like, if night is like you punched a hole into tomorrow, I would fuck the hole all night long, I'll stay out until my mind is like a clear glass with nothing going on. So this narrator sounds like they're really going through it, so good luck finding your phone, I guess.
It's all got this whole chaotic feel to it. Like, even the music video is just basically like, it's like, what the fuck is going on? What's going on? What? Who's this woman? Why are they like that? I love the chaotic feel is that amazing. That. And the songs this very pussy rock type of shit into it too, like this, right? With this, you know, where instead it's going, is going about, like, yeah, I'm gonna dig it.
One of the very relatable experiences is in the title, as well as the constant panic that results in not knowing where it is, as shown in the video, because my god, separation anxiety, it's a bitch, ain't it?
And how?
Yup.
But now, moving on to the next track here. Yeah, it looks like we're about due for a new Lamb of God record at this point. Last we heard of them was Omens back in 2022. So, looks like the band's newest release is dated for March 13th. Okay, I feel like most of the stuff we're talking about this week is either March 13th or February 13th. A whole lot of Friday the 13th is happening. But, the newest Lamb of God record is called Into Oblivion. And we have the lead-off single here, fittingly enough, the title track. And if you're familiar with Lamb of God's overall feeling at this point, then you probably know exactly what to expect at this point. You have this, you have a lot of chuggy grooves with, you know, a lot of hammer-ons and pull-offs, kind of ominous melodies and such. This kind of mix of halftime and regular time grooves in the drums, especially with a lot of the, you know, reinforcing a lot of the guitar chugs, they're just kind of like beating into each other in terms of the rhythms, the riffs, the grooves. Randy Blythe sounding like, you know, Randy Blythe as always. So, you know, Lamb of God delivering what you expect from them as always. If you're not into it, you're not into it. But if you're into it, then it's another pretty good song.
This feels kind of modern metalcore-y in a lot of ways, very un-Lamb of God, but also putting in their, you know, more traditional styles to make a track that sounds far more modernized than I would have expected from them at this point. So, you know, fair play. Keeping things fresh. I like it.
Now, let's move on to the next track here. So, we have a little taste here of the soundtrack that Charlie XCX has been cooking up for the upcoming film adaptation of Wuthering Heights, directed by none other than Emerald Fennell, and it's coming out February 13th. Oh, hey, look at that, more Friday 13th! Hey! Yeah, so, we have this, I think there's already been a couple pieces released, but this is just the one we're talking about here. It's called Wall of Sound, and it is a fairly succinct track. It's like about 2.5 minutes. Instrumentally, there's no percussion. It's mainly this droning, melancholic set of strings that towards the end swell up into a bit more menacing fashion, kind of like, you know, horror movie violin stings. And then lyrically, while I can't say I'm familiar with the source material, at least from what it sounds like on Genius.com, it presumably ties into, you know, the film and its themes by conveying the point of view of a woman who desperately wants to confess her love towards someone, but finds herself avoiding that conversation for one reason or another. It sounds pretty alright. Again, I feel like this is one of the things where I really need, like, some kind of broader context to fully, you know, work out whether or not it fits. But, honestly, I'd be curious to give the movie a watch.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, so this is what Brat would have sounded like with a full orchestra. I kind of dig it. I don't know if the movie's gonna be any good, but I dig this.
Yes, I mean, yes, I mean, I have questions about. Well, then again, this is a movie about something that I know absolutely nothing about, and something that I probably may not be in my wheelhouse at all, but. I like the music. This has been a good thing so far. I think I like that. And the other song she dropped is called House, which is probably use a TikTok sound one more time, at least from what I gather. But okay, I'm liking this thing that Charlie's doing with this. Like, will it make me see the movie? Probably not. But the soundtrack, I might check out some later, but yeah, this seems pretty cool. Yeah, it's like, you know, like when it comes to pop music, I think stuff like this and Mitski are kind of the reason why it's kind of more my wheelhouse, because of, like, I like, you know, stuff like this, like it's like very, you know, well, not poppy, but more out there or something like that. Yeah, it's. My taste is very eclectic, maybe.
Cool. Anyway, yeah. Now we're moving on to the last track here. Looks like it's an album due out for February 6th, and it comes from... Oh, hey, it's J. Cole. Yay!
Oh, damn. Oh, hey, Jermaine.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, so...
And look, I guess what album it is. It's his long-awaited album, The Fall Off.
Okay. Cole. Can we call you Jermaine? You and us, we need to have a little talk here. Like, okay, I get that maybe there's some sort of, you know, actual point that you're trying to make by calling this album The Fall Off. I assume you named the album that for a reason, but... You have to understand, Spinal Tap had Shark Sandwich. The Clash had Cut the Crab. You cannot name your album something that tees off an infinite number of punchlines for anybody that might think negatively of your album, especially considering that your clout is kind of very iffy right now, you know, after Shadow Dropping Might Delete Later, and dropping one of the most reluctant bullshit diss tracks in the history of rap music. Just saying.
Yeah. So anyway, it was anyway the new track, and we'll call something except Itala as Disc 2, Track 2. Even though, according to Genius, it's actually called the Inevitable, because, surprise, it's not... Well, it's no longer a surprise, so there you go. Basically, what the song is talking about is Cole narrowing his life in reverse, as in death, 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 birth, and he's basically talking about, you know, talking about Spain's success in this, right? It's Spain's success and basically how his legacy is fleeting and all that other, you know, all the bullshit, which this is a song. It's for what it is. Like, again, while I say I'm not really high on Cole. Is he trash? No. Is he someone to say, oh, he's gonna say, oh, that's that Cole, that's that boy Cole. Is that, I'm not like that with him. No. It's like, the beat's fine. I mean, the beat's fine. It's like, okay, I mean, okay, you're not really saying nothing that's, well, nothing that's, well, that catches me. Just like, oh, okay. Who knows? Maybe it might be better than Mike Lee later, one of his worst projects ever, but yeah.
Yeah. But we'll have to see, you know, we'll have to wait until February. But in the meantime, that closes out the new song discussions. And we only really have one major news topic of note. And of course it concerns once again the trend of AI generation in various facets of art, which, again, looking at the news, perhaps the bubble might pop soon. I mean, ChatGPT apparently is introducing advertisements, which means desperate for money. Apparently, 99% of Sora AI's users dropped off after a year. 99%. Boy, howdy. And now we have this latest bit of... latest bit of news coming courtesy of Bandcamp, a website that was great at one point. I realize it still has a place in the music world, but I still have a lot of feelings about considering, have you seen who owns them? But, they have officially, in the past week, taking a very, very firm stance, straight up banning any and all AI-generated music that could potentially be uploaded to the platform. Because, you know, it's supposed to be a music streaming platform, sales distribution outlet that supports artists. So just to kind of borrow some quotes here, musicians are more than mere producers of sound. They're vital members of our communities, our culture, and our social fabric. The platform emphasized that its goal is to ensure that artists can make music and earn from it, while, you know, giving us the confidence that what we're getting and what we're supporting is actually made by people. You know, putting human creativity first. And, yeah, of course, this is obviously, like, a pretty major decision. And, you know, I'm happy for any sort of fuck AI stance. Yeah, I'm just looking at the actual statement that they put out. And, you know, for more direct, just straight up what they said, music and audio that is generated wholly or in substantial part by AI is not permitted on the platform. Any use of AI tools to impersonate other artists or styles is strictly prohibited in accordance with our existing policies prohibiting impersonation and intellectual property infringement. We reserve the right to remove any music on suspicion of being AI generated. So pretty much, no bullshit. I respect that.
This should be the floor, not the ceiling. This should be the expectation, not a special circumstance. This should be obvious. This should not take 5 seconds of brain power to think about, maybe, no. Nip it in the bud, kick it in the ass, throw out the garbage. It's not going to stay forever. Mostly because... have you seen how much money these fucking people are losing? And how it's the reason why you're not going to be able to get a new computer anytime soon? Because all these fucking companies have to put in orders for RAM chips that don't exist yet, to fulfill obligations for services that don't exist yet, to fill data centers that don't exist yet. That is the definition of a bubble economy. The sooner it crashes and burns and pops, the better.
Again, I guess really big pen. then we can use it, because I can use it. I just need to, pop one thing. It should be this. It should be this fucking thing, because we've been saying it over and over and over again. Not just for music, for art in general, that nobody wants this generative AI bullshit. Nobody wants that.
Every time it comes up, there's always enough of a fucking firestorm about it. Like, what was that one game company, the one that made Baldur's Gate 3, like, their next game, they were like, oh yeah, we sort of use AI sometimes. Everybody bullied the fuck out of them for it. Of course, there was a whole debacle with Amazon's AI-generated English dubs.
And of course, Spotify's bullshit. Spotify's bullshit with them making fake artists making fake AI music of artists like someone made a fake version of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard or some AI that shit.
Yeah. Speaking of, two things. Number one, really an AI generated diss song to Mike the Snare? Really?
I haven't even watched that video yet. Oh my god! Yeah, that was
a yeah. Thing. That is a journey. And two, I don't care if it's true or not. I'm just gonna say it because they'll probably get spun into being true. That's the reason why Spotify is increasing their prices again.
Yeah.
Just subscribe to something else if you need it.
Anything else.
And yes, I know. Sometimes some music will be some music services. And I was like, well, like, I don't have music agency either, or YouTube, or Tidal, or some other bullshit. I don't know. Pandora, what's some other fucking music streaming service?
Buy and sell music through carrier pigeons.
Yeah, that. But at least they ain't pulling shit like these ain't doing shit like Spotify's been doing. At least they gave a shit sometimes. I mean, at least they don't do shit like what they're doing.
But as we said before,
nobody wants this shit. Everybody's been saying that in all forms, from music, movies, TV, anime, animation, art, every motherfucking thing art related or just art in general. Nobody wants this generative AI bullshit. It's gonna pop, and you know it, and I got this big fucking pen and you need to stick. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the only people who say they want it are bigwigs with too much money to burn and ops. It's on site. You hear me?
Yeah.
You are all our ops. It is on site.
I'm going to celebrate the inevitable downfall with confetti and Publix chicken wings.
Oh boy, there are going to be a lot of shattered windows when that happens. And I'm not going to say why. You all can figure out the rest of that analogy and image. You're all smart people. You can figure it out. You can figure out what happens when a lot of money is lost. There's a giant hole in a window. I mean, I don't need to explain it. I've seen Time Cop. I know what happens.
One of these days, I'll watch Time Cop. But, yeah, that basically covers all that business. And now we just have one more thing to take care of before the sign-off, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of January 23rd, 2026. Only a handful of releases of note, mostly metal ones. So, starting here at the top, from Japanese metalcore band Crystal Lake, there's their new album, The Weight of Sound. From the progressive metalcore act Textures, we have their first album in about a decade with Genotype. From Megadeth, we have their self-titled final studio album, thank God. From Poppy, she apparently has a new album out this week called Empty Hands. And last but certainly not least, from IDK, we have his new mixtape, Even the Devil Smiles. Anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where could you be found on the internet?
All the usual places, as per usual. If you found this episode, you probably found it through there, or the Discord, or wherever else. God, my voice is terrible tonight. I don't know what's going on with me. But, yeah, find me in the ether, and in your mind.
I was wondering who was up there the other day. Inception is real. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, I'm more meta media on, you know, stuff like Blue Sky and shit, Instagram or whatever. You find me at just me doing shit. Also, my site, mynhypeone.com. I doing shit right now. Erest. I'm just focus on other shit now. I'm also getting mine as well. I'm just in the background eating chicken wings.
Oh man, where did my Publix chicken wings go? You motherfucker.
God.
Anyway, yeah, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@superresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website itself on Blue Sky, at superresolution.bluesky. Visit the website, superresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And of course, there is where you'll find the link to the Discord, so that way you can always, you know, be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site, chat all sorts of business, you know the drill. So, thank you for tuning in this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly stuff. And until next time, oh god, cow tools are actually real? Gary Larson, you fiend, you predicted the future!